What is the science of reading? What are leaders doing to accelerate reading achievement? We answer these questions and more in Science of Reading Leadership, Guiding Minds, Transforming Lives, powered by Just Right Reader.
Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Science of Reading Leadership Podcast. We are so excited to have our guest today, and that is Dr. Jima Whitaker, who is the superintendent of City Schools of Decatur in Georgia. Before joining City Schools of Decatur, Dr. Whitaker was the deputy chief academic officer for Fulton County Schools and an area superintendent and coordinator of gifted and talented services in Atlanta Public Schools. Dr. Whitaker continues to improve access to excellent educational experiences and is a change agent for academic systems. We are so excited to have you. Thank you for being here with us.
Thank you so much. It is so good to see you, Christy. It is also great to see you, Terry.
Yes, yes. I have a special place in my heart for Dr. Jima Whitaker. And so I'm super excited to get into this conversation because I know that those of you who are listening will also find a special place in your heart because of her passion and her love for children and education and excellence. So the first thing we want to do, Dr. Whitaker, is we want to hear about how you got into education, why you even chose this lane. Where's your passion come from as it relates to education?
Awesome. Thank you so much, Terry. And I have been in education actually over 25 years. I came to education because my grandmother said to me, guess what? You're supposed to be a teacher. So I have numerous siblings. Not only that, my grandmother was the caretaker of those in West Philadelphia, where I'm originally from. And by being the oldest and being with her all the time, I always knew how to take care of the children. And when I was taking care of the children, I also taught the children. And so going to college and having that first semester, that first year, I said, you know what? I don't think I want to be a doctor. Grandma, what am I supposed to be when I grow up? And she says, baby, you're supposed to be a teacher. I went back to school, said, okay, how do I get onto an education track? And it's been a wonderful journey ever since. And so finished at the University of Pennsylvania undergraduate and graduate school, and then transitioned to Fulton County Schools as a first year teacher teaching fourth grade.
And I love the fact that you said that, right? I love the fact that you said you were always taking care of the babies, always taking care of the kids, because I think that for me sums up your career. You're always taking care of the babies, always taking care of the kids. That's always in every role I've ever seen you in. That's always been your focus, your passion. And that's beautiful. I love it.
Well, thank you. My focus on children has been longstanding. One of the things I know is that when I worked directly with children as a teacher, they were my focus. And then when I moved out of the classroom and began to support the adults, I was supporting the adults so that they knew how to take care and how to educate the children. So then it moved from supporting of teachers to then supporting of leaders. How do you create the conditions so that students will have access to quality education, to have access to enrichment or higher levels of education in that world of gifted ed? But then also, as I moved more into that school improvement lens, it was how do the adults create the conditions so that regardless of teacher, regardless of leader, the systems were in place so that the students would thrive. The leaders knew, and they knew how to lead the teachers that ultimately made the difference in the classrooms. So it's always been about the children for me. It will always be about the children for me, because we need leaders in education who can do exactly that. They care about the children, and they care about how the adults care about the children.
Dr. Whitaker, can you tell us a little bit about City Schools of Decatur? Tell us more about your district.
Yes. So in the City Schools of Decatur, I have about 5,800 children, and it is 4 square miles long, which is very interesting because I've been in very large systems. I heard Terry talk about my time in Atlanta Public Schools, as well as Fulton County Schools, some of the largest districts in the Southeast. And now I'm in a, what would be considered almost like a boutique school system, where you have one feeder high school, one feeder middle school, 2, 3, 5 schools, multiple K-2 schools, and then one early childhood learning center. So with this school system, it is extremely high performing on the surface. I say on the surface because we do have a graduation rate at 95%. That's on the surface. When it comes to our at or above grade level reading for our students in elementary school, we're at 87%. So by the aggregate, we're extremely high performing, especially in comparison to our peers in the metro. But when you pull back the layer, when you go into that onion, we find there are pockets. And those pockets are really what I was drawn to about this district, because the Board of Education also knew that pocket existed. They knew the gap was present. And what does that gap look like? Well, as I said before, our at or above grade reading in elementary is 87.5%. But for our Black students, it is 56.67%. And even for our economically disadvantaged students, it's 43%. So I know you might be wondering, these are a whole lot of numbers, and guess what? This is around literacy. But let's think about that. When we think about all of our student population, 60% of them are white, but we also have 20 to 23% that are Black or African American. Similarly, around those percentages for economically disadvantaged as per our state guidelines. So that pocket says we need, first of all, true tier one instruction at the standard level. And we also need to ensure that we are able to screen and assess and provide interventions that are going to be meaningful for our students. So I was drawn to this district. I started July 1st, which is about 6 months into the job. And one of the things, well, multiple of the things that they have wanted me to address are my philosophy around reading. And what does that mean in the way we teach it here in Decatur? The understanding of our achievement gap and how it has persisted year over year, even going back before the pandemic. And then finally, understanding intervention. What is the multi-tiered support process, and how can I bring in resources, systems, structures, and of course, support of staff to address the needs of students real time and get them right on track again. So those are some of the things that our district currently is facing and some of the things that really have led and guided my leadership in this first 6 months here on the job.
And you did. You hit the ground running, right?
And Terry knows that whenever I hit the ground, I always hit it running. So yes, we have been hitting it running here as well.
And I love it. And I think that you're going to consistently see this theme of children first, and not just some children, but all children, right? Yeah. You're willing to do the work to pull back the layers to make sure that no child is overlooked. And so I really want us to talk right now about that work that you're doing around literacy to ensure that none of the students, right? We're not okay with just 98%. Like, let's get down to the 2%. Let's get down to 3%. That's what right. are you doing to establish that instructional infrastructure mm-hmm. around high quality literacy instruction?
Great question. So one, I will start with the strategic plan. I love how you said all children, because our strategic plan is entitled All in Decatur. Mm. And so that means every staff member, every adult, every family member, we are all in to develop the most high performing, the most inclusive public education system there is. So All in Decatur is the foundation. We layer on All in Decatur with our literacy plan, which we call Literacy for All, or Literacy for All. Literacy for All really is rooted in an opportunity I had, I would say almost a year ago. So in my former role in Fulton, I did have the opportunity to testify to our Senate and Youth Education Committee around the work we were doing in Fulton around the science of reading. I will say that opportunity solidified and really is the foundation for our legislation that we have here in Georgia around the science of reading. And so it's House Bill 538 and also Senate Bill 211. Those different pieces of legislation said, there is an exact way you can build your focus on literacy and literacy for all. So in Decatur, we utilize that bill, which the architect utilized that same testimony that I provided back in February when they were creating to one, look at our high quality instructional materials. What materials do you have in place and that are in place for all portions of literacy? And so it addresses all of the five pillars, but it also addresses the way the brain actually learns how to read in those tier one materials as well, otherwise known as Scarborough's rope and that progression. Also, with that instructional material, you must have a robust assessment system. And that means we are universally screening all of our students. We have a screener for dyslexia. And I will say that the City Schools of Decatur was a part of a pilot in the state of Georgia around that screener for dyslexia. So how can we ensure that our universal screener, our screener for dyslexia, even our common interim assessments that are actually created and it's aligned to the standard, how do we use all of those different pieces of data to inform our instructional decisions? That is one of the key pieces of literacy for all. And then I've alluded to it already, but the science of reading and that professional learning. How do you ensure that a teacher really understands what the brain is doing when it is learning how to read and utilizing that to make sure that as you are utilizing your instructional materials, you are moving the needle for children and they now know how to read. Now, this final piece is really how we utilize Just Right Reader very heavily in our school system. And that's around the family engagement and communication. So our families often hear, oh, just read with your child for 20 minutes. And as if that's like a magic silver bullet and all of a sudden they're going to know how to read. But we believe that our texts that are teaching the children how to read, they should be decodable. So when I think about Just Right Reader and I think about the text that the family is reading at home, that is that take home decodable, the shift is happening. So I'm a mom. I was a fourth grade teacher. I love Brown Bear. I also love Goodnight Moon. I love all of the books that I read to my child or my children in utero and in infancy. But once we made that shift in the home to utilizing a decodable that was high interest, that was also one that really connected with them, meaning it was a window and also a mirror to the diversity that is present in the world, that is when those shifts really come. And that's where they came in my own home. And that's where I also want to make sure they're available for all of our homes here in the city schools of Decatur. And that type of partnership and leadership and literacy for all is key. So we have, as far as our population, at least one out of 10 children are students who do live in our Decatur Housing Authority. So with that being the case, we're partnering. We're utilizing that community engagement through our partners in the Housing Authority, the tutors that we have in place, and the Just Right Reader decodables, so that the tutors know how to help the students. And then when they take the actual book home, the parents know how to help the students as well, because that lesson plan is automatically included in that decodable. So when I think about literacy for all, it's definitely around that tier one instruction. It's around that assessment. It is around that training and the professional learning for the science of reading. But most importantly, it's that home-school connection. And that is where the decodables have made a difference for us in Decatur.
Yeah. This episode is brought to you by Just Right Reader. Extend phonics instruction, strengthen school-home partnerships, and accelerate reading achievement with take-home decodable packs from Just Right Reader. Personalized take-home packs make phonics fun and accessible for families. Every book comes with a video phonics lesson and writing pages to help readers reinforce their decoding and writing skills. To learn more, visit justrightreader.com.
Dr. Whitaker, you have talked us through so many components of your strategic plan, your assessment component, PD, family engagement. What are some of the challenges that you have faced or surprises that you've come up against as you've been implementing the strategic plan?
Yes. So what are the challenges? Challenges are always ever present. I will say that our teachers and also our leaders have felt very comfortable and confident in their teaching ability here in the city schools of Decatur. Because when you look at, once again, that aggregate, they're very high performing. Also, when they were teaching in the past, they utilized what was the guided reading approach. And that was what they were very good at implementing. So we've had to really support our teachers through the grief process, pretty much. That cycle of recognizing their instruction may not have been as beneficial to all children as it were to some children. So once again, I go right back to that strategic plan. All means all. So that challenge is, I want to reassure them that, one, when you know better, you do better. So now that we know better around the way in which to instruct students so that they are able to read, then know that we will also do better, and so will our students. So initially, that's, of course, presents some resistance. Just because a teacher does not decide, okay, I want to get up and harm children. But what that challenge is that we need to show the teachers that when you utilize all of these different levers that we've discussed, the data will begin to move. And that will be really reassuring that you are doing what is right for children. So although I would say the greatest challenge is that change management. And that's because you really have to be aware of a different way.
I love the idea that you said we had to go through the grief process, right? Because the grief process says there were some really amazing things happening. There were some great things happening.
Right.
And now we have to still shift and keep moving forward. Exactly. There's a new path forward. There's a new path. So let's applaud ourselves for where we were, but let's let go of the things that were preventing us from truly moving all students forward. Mm-hmm. And the courage to do that, that's a really powerful thing. You talked about tutoring, right? You mentioned tutoring. And I know that you have done some real amazing things around high impact tutoring. So let's talk about that. So why are you focusing on that? How are you setting it up? Like, what are we doing around that high impact?
Yes. So of course, in my former role, we did a lot around high impact tutoring because we were still very much in the pandemic. And we knew that was one of the greatest pieces of evidence would be to implement that sort of strategy. But now we are more so off of the heels of the pandemic, and we are now truly in what is going to sustain the work thus far. So I talked a little bit about our community and that partnership with Decatur Housing Authority. And so we identify tutors that are able to support our students at the housing authority. And that is with actually in combination with the school system and the community partner of the Decatur Housing Authority. It is also supplemented with the Decatur Education Foundation. So that's the foundation that has been established so that we can support financially the innovation that will make CSD stand out. So through DHA, DEF, and CSD, you know, in education, we love all of our acronyms. All of those different entities come together to make sure that our students have access to tutors, who have access to data, who have access to resources as our children are learning that progression through their understanding of reading. So that is very exciting. It's very new for here in Decatur, that level of partnership through all of those community organizations are targeting specifically who we need to target so that all will be all. 89% is not all. All will mean all at or above grade level for reading.
That really gives me chills. Yes. Like, it really gives me chills because you don't hear a lot of leaders saying we're not going to be okay with 90%.
No, we can't be. When I think about, I was talking a little bit about Brown Bear, Brown Bear. Brown Bear or Brown Bear is a text that is predictive. You know what comes next. They're able to really decode the text. They understand what is happening with the patterns of language and then are able to have that true comprehension of the text. We are learning that as a school system with our teachers. Our tutors are learning that are working with our most vulnerable learners. And then the families are learning that at the same time. And that's where all can mean all. When you utilize a text that will ultimately ensure all of the students know how to read. And it's not predictive by nature, but there is actually a science to it. And we are attacking that science and we are learning that science and dissecting it and making sure that it's there for everyone, not just for the parent who has access, not just for the parent that has access to the high dollar private tutor, but for our families that are most vulnerable. That's key.
It really is. Really is. You've done so many creative things with family outreach and in all parts of your strategic plan. What has been the feedback from your community?
Well, number one, it is thank you. That's the number one thing I hear is thank you. So as I said before, our strategic plan is really based on the fact that we would have high quality, inclusive public education. Inclusivity is not only based upon race. Inclusivity is not only based upon neurodivergence, but oftentimes inclusivity can be based upon access or affluence. So coming to our district, creating the two-way channels of communication, such as a listening session in the community center of the homes, not just you need to come to me to talk to me, but I go to you. That's where I hear the thank you. I hear the thank you when we translate our different offerings into the various languages of those who are their native tongue. And those are the same families that are saying thank you. To really see that our students are safe, our students are seen, they are valued, but now we are here to make sure they will be successful. That's been our equity work here in Decatur, but to be able to shift to that success as the focus, true student outcomes, they have said, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
You've talked a lot about how you've shifted, how you're supporting your teachers. One of the questions I have for you, because I know we have a lot of district leaders who listen, is what advice do you have for district leaders as they take on this work?
Yes. One, you have to know the work yourself. So I will never ask leaders to go and do things that I have not done myself. So in my former district, I was a letters certified leader. I was letters certified before asking the leaders to take on letters. When it came to understanding the text, I look at the text myself before asking the leaders to take a look at the text and potentially procure the text. When it comes to even the assessments, I tell people all the time, I can come to your PLC and unpack the standard if you want me to. I don't think that's what I should be doing in this role, but I do know how. And when necessary, I will, and I have filled in all of the subsequent roles. So as a district leader, you can't just say, go do, go do, go do, without ever being able to say that you've done. Another key piece to this work is knowing when to do a start, stop, continue protocol. So that is a protocol I always utilize at mid-year, and I utilize it end of year. If you're about to embark upon this work, what do you need to stop doing? What will need to be in place in the interim that needs to continue as you then begin to start the new piece? Whatever combination you want to use, that type of protocol makes everyone know that you are, one, listening. Two, you recognize that the plates are already full and putting another something to do is not going to be beneficial to anyone. And it also will help you identify the ways in which you can utilize your resources, your funding, your time and your personnel towards the new work that you are about to embark upon. So I've learned that that's one of the things you have to do when you're talking about change management. And if you don't do it, it's going to fall on the one flat on its face.
That's good. That is really, really good. So is there anything else that we should have asked you about? Is there anything else that you want to highlight about your work that we didn't know to ask you about?
Well, what I will say is that you've asked me just about everything, but I would not actually expect any less. Just know that here in the City Schools of Decatur, as we are truly launching Literacy for All in this 2-year endeavor, we are in the midst of change. We have new literacy standards coming on. We're going through a textbook adoption. We are understanding what is required from us from a professional learning standpoint around literacy. All of that is true. But when I go into the classroom and I can see where the true magic happens, it grounds me in my decision-making moving forward. So all of those different systems, all of those different processes, all of that different budget is a moot point if I don't keep my focus on the students. And so all has to mean all, period.
I love it. You know, you didn't disappoint. Of course, you showed up exactly how I knew you would. I came into Dr. Whitaker's orbit my first day of teaching. And ever since then, she's remained consistent with her pedagogy, her heart work. She believes in education for all, and she has never wavered from that in every aspect of her career. And so we thank you for taking the time to join us on our podcast, for sharing your wisdom, for sharing your heart and your passion, and just doing it in such a beautiful, inspiring way. And so I thank you so much for your time. We look forward to what you're going to do next. We're going to be following you. Before we let you go, how can we follow your work? Where can we see all of the great things that are happening that you're leading the charge on?
Yes. So I am on all social media platforms. On Instagram, I am the CSD Soup. On Twitter or X, I am Jima.Whitaker. And also on Facebook, I am also CSD Soup. And then obviously I am a member of LinkedIn. And so you can always look for me at Jima.Whitaker as well.
Fantastic. Once again, thank you for being here. Thank you for joining us. Both Christy and myself are honored to have you here. And so we thank you so much. Be sure to tune in for our next podcast. We love to do this work and we love sharing all of this information with you. Talk to you next time.
Thank you. Have a great one.
Thanks for joining us. If you found this conversation valuable, please subscribe and leave a review on your favorite podcast platform. We will see you next time on Science of Reading Leadership, Guiding Minds, Transforming Lives.